This is Audible.
Once Upon a Witch, A Wicked Witches of the Midwest Fantasy, Books 1, 2, 3, by Amanda M. Lee, copyright 2017, narrated by Leslie Ann Fogel. Witchy Tales, A Wicked Witches of the Midwest Fairy Tale, Wicked Witches of the Midwest Fantasy Book 1, written by Amanda M. Lee, narrated by Leslie Ann Fogel. Once upon a time, there were three little girls, and they annoyed their great aunt very much. Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up. 1.
What's going on?
I glanced up from the porch swing, my eyes landing on handsome perfection, and smiled by way of greeting as my boyfriend Landon Michaels climbed the steps of my family's inn. He stooped low to give me a kiss and then lifted my feet and settled beside me. "You're early this weekend," I said. "An agent working out of the FBI's Traverse City field office in northern Lower Michigan, he generally split his time between his apartment there and the guest house I share with my cousins here in Hemlock Cove. Although, truth be told, he was increasingly finding reasons to spend more nights with me as the weeks progressed. I'm not complaining, mind you. I've just noticed he's around a lot more, which seems to make both of us happy."
"I got up at the crack of dawn so I could finish all of my paperwork and be here in time for dinner,"
Landon said, pushing his longish black hair from his face and fixing his warm eyes on me.
"I might have missed you a little."
"You just saw me yesterday morning," I reminded him.
"Yes, but you were still asleep when I left,"
Landon said.
"You made a weird growling sound and rolled over when I kissed you. I felt bereft without a proper goodbye."
He likes to mess with me. "I still saw you."
"But then I had to go all day yesterday without seeing you, and I had to spend the night in my sad little apartment all alone. And then I had to go through today without my daily Bayfix. It was something out of a nightmare."
He was teasing me, but he was so cute, it didn't really matter. He does something weird to my heart. I can't explain it. I just feel lighter when he's around. "My name is Bay Winchester, and I'm a witch in love. Sure, the witch stuff is a pain to deal with, but the love stuff is getting easier to get a handle on every day. I know you think you're being a drama queen and that it's somehow funny, but I'm choosing to take your words at face value," I said, leaning forward and lightly pressing my lips against his strong chin. "I'll now be able to spend the next few days picturing you curled up in a little ball, crying because you had to sleep alone." Landon grinned, the expression lighting his already handsome face.
"I only cried a little."
"Did your mascara run?"
"You're not funny."
Landon reached over and tickled my ribs, delighting when he heard me laugh until I gasped for relief.
"Stop that," I ordered. "It's starting to hurt."
Landon narrowed his eyes as he tried to determine whether I was playing him or telling the truth. Finally, he opted to pull his hand away.
"I think you're making that up, but I would never hurt you, so I'm going to stop."
"That's good," I said.
"Why?"
"Then I can do this." I launched myself on him, using my weight to push him back on the swing and force him down so I could return the tickling favor. Exertion clouded Landon's angular face as he grappled to shift my body so he was back in control. "I'm stronger than I look, though."
"Oh, good grief! Do I have to get the hose?"
I glanced up, Landon's hand tied on my hip, as the wickedest witch in the Midwest sauntered onto the front porch of the Overlook. And yes, when my mother announced she and her sisters were naming me in that, I tried to explain why it was a bad idea. They either didn't get it or didn't care.
"Aunt Tilly,"
Landon said, grimacing when I poked my finger into his ribs again.
"How are you this fine summer evening?"
"Well, my arthritis is acting up, my glaucoma is taking over, and my hemorrhoids have a mind of their own,"
Aunt Tilly said.
"Other than that, I'm just peachy."
"You don't have glaucoma," I said. "You need to stop telling people that. That's your excuse for planting a pot field, even though we all know you're a senior citizen who likes to burn a big blunt from time to time." Landon arched an eyebrow.
"Burn a big blunt? Where did you learn the lingo?"
"She's been watching The Wire with me," Aunt Tilly said. On the nights you're not here, and Clove and Thistle are busy with Marcus and Sam, she has nothing better to do than hang out with me. It's pitiful.
I frowned while Landon fought to hide a smile.
I don't think I'm the only one crying when we're apart,
he teased.
You must be desperate to spend your nights with Netflix and Aunt Tilly.
I'll have you know I'm a very popular person, I said. I could hang out with a lot of people.
Are any of them alive?
Talking to ghosts was one of my witchy gifts. Landon wasn't always happy with my abilities, but he was putting up a good effort to understand them these days. I'm desirable, I said. I could have any number of male suitors the second I snap my fingers. Landon wrinkled his nose.
Why don't we just agree that I'm the only one masochistic enough to put up with this family? And why don't we go inside and get a drink?
I poked him again, this time a little more viciously. Tell me I'm desirable.
I desire you all the time, Landon said, laughing. I still think I'm a saint for putting up with this nonsense.
You shouldn't put up with that lip, Aunt Tilly said. If he was in my bed, I'd glue his lips together just to get him to shut up.
Landon shuddered, the mental image of sharing a bed with Aunt Tilly clearly throwing him for a loop.
Don't ever say anything like that again.
Oh, please, you know very well you've had dreams about sharing a bed with me, Aunt Tilly chided. Don't deny it. The goddess knows when you're lying, and she doesn't like it.
I don't know why I come back here weekend after weekend when all I get is abuse,
Landon said, pushing me up so we could both settle into a more comfortable sitting position.
It must be because I'm a masochist.
I pinched him one more time for good measure, and then focused my attention on Aunt Tilly. What's up with you? Why are you out here? Isn't Jeopardy set to start in 5 minutes? One thing you don't want to do is get between Aunt Tilly and Alex Trebek. She takes it personally. She thinks she knows all the answers and then swears the television is lying when she's wrong. Winchesters like to be right. All of us.
I needed some fresh air, Aunt Tilly said.
Why?
Because, well, why does it matter? I love nature. Give it a rest.
She was up to something. I can always tell. The first hint is the fact that she's breathing. The second is her darting eyes when formulating a lie on the spot.
Why don't I believe you?
Landon asked.
Because you're suspicious by nature, Aunt Tilly replied, nonplussed. It's your biggest personality flaw.
How many personality flaws do I have?
None, I said, patting his hand reassuringly. She's making that up.
6,
Aunt Tilly countered. Landon lifted an eyebrow.
6?
You have a big ego. You're a bully when you want to be. You yell too much. You're a glutton. And I think you might be a sexual deviant, Aunt Tilly said.
That's on top of me being suspicious, right?
Landon said.
Exactly.
Well, I can't argue with any of that. You know you have some of the same personality defects, right?
I don't have any personality defects,
Aunt Tilly said, crossing her arms over her chest. I tried to swallow the snort before it escaped and failed.
I don't, Aunt Tilly said. I'm one of those rare people who have no failings.
Good to know, Landon said.
Something else was going on here. Why are you really out here?
I told you, I want to enjoy nature,
Aunt Tilly said.
Summers are far too short in Michigan. I want to enjoy this one before winter returns. Aunt Tilly!
The three of us froze when we heard the bellow. By the time Landon and I shifted our eyes back to Aunt Tilly, she was already descending the porch steps.
You never saw me, she said.
The front door of the overlook flew open and my mother stormed out, her sisters Marnie and Twyla close on her heels.
You stop right there, Mom ordered.
Aunt Tilly did as she was told, but instead of turning to face her family, she focused on a nearby tree and pasted a puzzled look on her face.
I think we should hire someone to come in and prune some of these trees, she said. The ones over here are getting out of control. You're out here looking at the trees?
Mom asked, dubious.
Do you really expect us to believe that?
What's going on?
Thistle asked, walking up to the front porch from the path on the west side of the overlook. Her boyfriend, Marcus, was beside her, and our other cousin, Chloe, trailed several feet behind with her boyfriend, Sam. I have no idea, I said. We were hanging out when she came outside and said she was hankering for some nature.
And you believed her?
Marnie asked.
Of course not. You're on my list,
Aunt Tilly said, shooting me a dark look and extending a gnarled finger in my direction.
You're at the top of it.
Thistle clapped her hands excitedly.
I'm so glad. I've been at the top of the list for weeks. You've been at the top of the list since you were born,
Aunt Tilly said.
It's in your nature to be at the top of the list. You want to excel in everything.
Let's get back on topic, Mom suggested.
Let's, Aunt Tilly agreed.
I think these trees need to be pruned.
That's not the topic I was talking about, Mom said.
Aunt Tilly ignored her.
Marcus, I don't suppose you would be willing to help me prune these trees, would you?
Sure,
Marcus said, his face impassive.
I like pruning trees.
You're multifaceted, weird,
Thistle said. Marcus leaned over and gave her a quick kiss.
That's why we get along so well.
Well, that was annoying enough to put you right back at the top of my list,
Aunt Tilly said, rolling her eyes.
Don't worry, Marcus. I wasn't talking about you.
The only adult Aunt Tilly never seems to lose her temper with is Marcus. She's also particularly fond of Annie, the daughter of a woman who works at the inn. But Marcus has a special place in her heart. They have an interesting relationship.
Does anyone want to tell me what's going on here?
Landon asked.
I have a feeling you guys came out here for a reason.
We have a very big reason, Mom said. Do you know who was on the phone, Aunt Tilly? I think you do. That's why you scampered out of the house like you did. I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about,
Aunt Tilly said. Who was that on the phone? I asked, knowing Aunt Tilly she could be up to almost anything.
It was a sales representative from Manchester Printing in Traverse City, Mom said. He told me that her order of 1,000 labels, the ones for her new wine business, mind you, were on their way and they would be here tomorrow.
Uh-oh. Aunt Tilly's wine business was a sore spot. Everyone, including Landon, knew she made it illegally. He'd been trying to shut her down for months, but he kept running into brick walls. Most of the walls were short and Aunt Tilly-shaped.
Why would you need 1,000 wine labels? Thistle asked, confused. You generally only make 20 bottles at a time.
How do you know that?
Landon asked, his eyes narrowing.
Have you been helping her?
Don't get all huffy with me, Thistle said. She's been making wine for decades. She used to make us help when we were teenagers.
Yeah, we were in charge of the sugar and yeast, Clove said. And the manual labor of filling the bottles and waxing the corks, I added. Landon scowled.
I can't listen to this, he said. She's illegally making wine, and now you're telling me she used underage kids to do her dirty work? What do you expect me to do with that?
Ignore it, Mom said.
What's in the past is in the past,
Marnie said.
You know very well you can't arrest her for things she did more than a decade ago.
One look at Landon's face told me he might have known it in his head, but his heart was putting up a fight. Why do you need 1,000 bottles of wine? I asked.
I'm expanding my business, Aunt Tilly said. I'm taking them to a consignment fair tomorrow afternoon.
You are not,
Landon said.
That's illegal. You cannot sell that wine. It's one thing to illegally make it and drink it yourself. It's another to sell it. I can't sit by and watch you sell it.
I put my hand on his arm to still him. What consignment fair sells wine?
It's a special one over in Kingston, Aunt Tilly said, studying her fingernails. She's talking about the Renaissance Fair, Thistle said.
I saw it advertised on a billboard. I was going to suggest that we all go, but then I got distracted by this. I glanced at Landon.
Can she sell homemade wine at a Renaissance Fair?
Not that I'm aware of,
he said.
She needs a permit.
I have a permit.
Where did you get a permit?
Aunt Tilly shrugged.
The permit fairies?
Thistle chortled.
I'm guessing she used that computer Bay gave her to conjure one up.
Whoops! That computer gift kept coming back to bite me on the...
You're not selling that wine,
Landon said.
I can promise you that. I'll be up here before dawn, and you're not taking that wine anywhere. I can't willingly let you leave when I know you're going to be committing a crime.
I don't need your permission to run my own business, Aunt Tilly said. I'm an adult. I can do what I want. You're not doing this, Mom said. I don't care if we all have to band together to stop you. This is not happening.
We'll see about that,
Aunt Tilly hissed.
Well, that was the worst dinner ever,
Landon said, lifting the covers and sliding in next to me in bed a few hours later. You've been to dinners where poltergeists threw all the dishes against the wall, I reminded him.
That was more fun than an entire table of deathly quiet people glaring at one another,
he said.
Even the food tasted different.
That's because my mother and aunts were angry when they made it, I said. Their magic works differently than mine. When they feel love, it goes into whatever they're doing. That includes the food.
Well, in that case, I always want your mother to be happy,
Landon said, brushing my hair from my face so he could study me.
You know I'm going to have to get up before the sun and go to the inn, right?
I know.
I can't let her leave with 1,000 bottles of wine that she plans to sell illegally.
I know.
I'm not going to arrest her,
Landon said, his eyes reflecting worry.
That's not what you're worried about, is it?
What makes you think I'm worried?
I know the way your face works,
he replied.
I know when you're sad, and I know when you're happy, and I know when you're worried the second I see you.
Maybe your magic, I said.
I think you're magic enough for both of us,
Landon said.
I'm just going to confiscate the wine, I promise.
I know you would never arrest her, I said. Do you have any idea how rough tomorrow morning is going to be? If you think Aunt Tilly is bad on a good day, wait until you try to stop her from doing something she's obviously been planning for weeks.
It will be fine, Bay,
Landon said, slipping his arm around my waist and pulling me closer until my chin could rest against his shoulder.
We're going to have a big fight, and Aunt Tilly is going to curse us with something nasty, but then we're going to have the whole day, just the two of us. Doesn't that sound fun?
It did sound nice. Did you set the alarm?
You can stay in bed when I get up tomorrow. You don't have to get up.
It's my family, I said. I should be there.
It might be better if you're not.
I'm going, I said. Don't bother arguing. Landon gave in.
Okay, if that's the case, then we need to get some sleep. We're going to need all the energy we can muster if we're going to take on Aunt Tilly tomorrow morning.
Really? You just want to go to sleep?
Oh, well, I have one last detour I want to make before we travel to Dreamland,
he said, giving me a soft kiss.
I want to make sure you're tired enough to pass out. It's really for your benefit.
I'm always glad to be your personal charity, I said, smiling.
Be prepared for my donation.
Landon made a face.
Ugh, huh. That went to a creepy place I wasn't really expecting.
Shut up and kiss me, I ordered. Morning is going to come before either one of us is ready to deal with it.
Yes, ma'am.
The first bed was too hard. The second bed was too soft. The third bed was just right. What's the lesson here? Don't touch other people's stuff, or you risk getting eaten by bears.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up. 2. I woke before the alarm clock the next morning, taking the opportunity to stretch languidly before getting a grip on my surroundings. It was still dark, no light filtered through the curtains, and my internal clock was muddled. What woke me? I rubbed my bare feet along the sheets, pushing them to my left and searching for Landon's warm presence. I found only emptiness. I reached over my hand, thinking he must have rolled to his other side and sleep. Just touching him would be enough to let me settle down and drift off again. There was no sign of him, though. I propped myself up on my elbow, scanning the room. It was too dark to see anything, and yet I knew Landon wasn't here. His heavy but always regular breathing couldn't lull me back to sleep because he wasn't in bed with me. I swore under my breath, threw the covers off, and swung my legs over the side of the mattress. He'd gone up to the inn without me. His worry about instigating a scene with Aunt Tilly caused him to sneak out without waking me. Part of me thought it was a sweet gesture. The other part was irritated. I wasn't a child. I could handle a fight. Heck, I'd grown up with the woman. I was used to fighting with her. My bare feet landed on the bedroom floor, and I groped around the rug until I found my jeans, t-shirt, and tennis shoes from the night before. I'm not much of a housekeeper. I don't generally pick up my clothes until it's time to wash them. At a time like this, my slovenly ways were a godsend. I considered brushing my hair, knowing my mother would make a stink if she saw it disheveled, but I was too annoyed to care. I don't like fighting with Landon, but I could feel a big one brewing. It's one thing to try to protect me. It's quite another to take charge. I hate that about him. I love the man dearly, but he often falls into that trap of having to be right. Of course, since I have trouble being wrong, we're quite the couple. I moved around to the end of the bed, smacking my shin into something hard, causing me to inadvertently cry out, "What the?" I aimlessly felt around, my hands running over a hard surface that I recognized as a trunk. The only problem with that realization is that there's no trunk at the end of my bed. There's nothing. Had someone moved furniture in the middle of the night and not told me? I carefully shuffled across the bedroom floor, slowly extending my feet like antenna, in hope I wouldn't run into another piece of errant furniture that wasn't supposed to be there. When my outstretched hand hit the wall, I started feeling around for the light switch. After a few seconds of searching, I gave up. Did someone move that, too? I pushed open the bedroom door and stepped into the living room, pulling up short and letting my eyes adjust to the brightness. Once they did, I wanted to turn around and go back into the bedroom. I'd walked out into a living room, but not my living room. I didn't even know what to say. What do you say when you go to sleep in your own bedroom, your smoking hot boyfriend at your side, and wake up a few hours later alone in a strange house? My gaze bounced around the room, confusion and dread braiding to pull heavily in my stomach. I was in a cabin. Well, it looked like a cabin. Without seeing the outside of the building, there was no sure way to tell. Other than the bedroom, which I just exited, the cabin consisted of one room. The fireplace on the far side was roaring, an iron pot of something streaming above the flames. The sofa appeared to be made out of salt and split logs, but there were no pillows or cushions to offer comfortable seating. On the other side of the room stood a wooden counter, three bowls placed neatly atop it. That was it. There was nothing else in the room. This has to be a dream. No one answered me. There was no one there to answer. I strode back to the bedroom door and threw it open, narrowing my eyes so I could stare inside. Without a better light source, it was hard to make out, but it looked as though there were three beds in the room, including the one I woke up in. I ran my hands down my clothes, breathing a sigh of relief when I recognized them. They were my jeans, t-shirt, and tennis shoes. I wasn't wearing someone else's clothes. What's going on here? For lack of something better to do, I pinched my forearm. The pain shot through me quickly, and it was enough to tell me this wasn't a dream. Well, mostly. You can't feel pain in dreams, right? I opened my mouth to call out, Landon's name on the tip of my tongue, but I swallowed the urge when the door of the cabin swung open, and three. Oh, holy crap, this has to be a dream. There's no way I saw what I thought I saw. Oh, I see our guest has finally awakened. How did you sleep, my dear? I'd always been taught that it's polite to answer a question when it's asked of you. Of course, I've never had the opportunity to talk to a bear. That's right, a bear. There, standing in the doorway of the tiny cabin, was not one, but three of them. They stood on their hind legs, their faces curious, and they stared at me as though I was an anomaly. I think I'm dreaming. You're not dreaming, the first bear said. I think I would know if you were dreaming. Uh-huh. The second bear, the one with the darker coat and bigger snout, pushed past the first bear and ambled in my direction. Instinct took over, and I jumped back. Don't bite me!
We don't usually bite people,
the bear said in a gravelly, male-sounding voice.
That's considered bad manners.
Oh, well, that's good, I said, fearfully scanning the cabin. How did I get here?
You let yourself in, the first bear said.
If the second bear's voice sounded male, this one definitely sounded female.
You were tired, and you needed a place to sleep.
First you tried my bed,
the male bear said.
You said it was too hard.
Then you tried my bed.
The female bear said.
You said it was too soft.
The third and smallest bear finally decided to speak.
And then you tried my bed and declared it perfect, the bear said.
The tinny tone of the voice made it hard to ascertain whether it was male or female.
That meant I had to sleep on the floor, in my own home. Thanks for that, by the way.
I couldn't tell whether it was a boy or a girl, but it definitely sounded like a petulant teenager.
Sebastian, there's no reason to be rude, the male bear said. The girl was exhausted. She needed her sleep.
Maybe I was exhausted, too, Sebastian said. Did you ever think about that?
Not particularly, the male bear said.
He turned his attention back to me.
Are you hungry?
I couldn't eat if someone put a plate of my favorite cookies in front of me and told me they were calorie-free. I'm good. The female bear urged Sebastian away from the door and used her shoulder to push it shut. Since she was a bear, her expression was impossible to read.
So, do you want to tell us how you got here?
I have no idea, I said. I'm still convinced this is a dream.
It's not, she said. Trust me.
See, I can't really trust you because you're a talking bear, I said.
I don't understand what me being a bear has to do with my trustworthiness, she replied.
Mrs. Bear, the thing is, where I come from, bears don't talk, I said.
My name is Sheila, and I'm confused, she said. If bears don't talk where you're from, how do you communicate with them?
I generally just run, I said. Although, to be fair, I've never seen a bear anywhere but in a zoo. Some people claim that there have been some in the woods that surround our house, but I've never seen one. I honestly think Aunt Tilly would frighten bears, so they stay away.
My cousin Thistle says people are really seeing Bigfoot, I continued, rambling.
I don't know what to think. I mean, I went to bed last night with my boyfriend, and I woke up in a cabin that belongs to a bunch of talking bears.
I told you she was crazy, the male bear said. Didn't I tell you? Only a crazy person would let themselves into a stranger's home and try out all the beds in the house.
Craig, please, Sheila said. You're upsetting the girl.
I'm upsetting her?
If bears can look irritated, Craig was doing a mighty fine job.
She's upsetting me.
And me, Sebastian chimed in.
I rubbed the heel of my hand against my forehead, my heart pounding, as I tried to ascertain exactly what was happening. You said that I let myself into your cabin last night and tried out all your bets, I said.
That's what you said, right? Sheila nodded.
Did I say anything?
You said you were tired and needed the perfect bed,
Craig said. I have no memory of that, I said.
I'll bet it's drugs, Sebastian said. She looks like a pothead.
Hey!
I think she's just confused, Sheila said. Maybe she got hit on the head or something.
My hand flew up and checked my head, going over the entire expanse twice to see whether I could detect a bump or open wound. There was nothing. Crap. And we're entirely sure I'm not dreaming, right?
Why do you keep thinking you're dreaming?
Craig asked. Because you're bears, and you're talking, and I didn't fall asleep wherever this is, I replied. Where is this, by the way?
It's the woods, Sheila said.
What woods?
Just the woods.
There's no name for the woods, I pressed.
What woods have names?
I have no idea, I said. I really want to wake up right now. You're not supposed to fear passing out when you're dreaming. That doesn't happen.
Oh, and Sherwood Forest is a wooded area that's named. You're not dreaming, pothead, Sebastian said. I can't believe we let a pothead into our house. This is so wrong. All I've heard for the past 2 years is how bad drugs are, and now we have a druggie in our house. This is a great way to set an example.
I am not a druggie, I snapped. Wait, how do bears know about pot?
I'm just confused. This bite's the big one, Sebastian said, throwing himself dramatically on the wooden sofa. If we're going to have a human guest, it should at least be someone fun, like Kim Kardashian.
I think I was just insulted. I don't want to be here any more than you want me to be here, kid, I said. I'm just as confused as you are.
Then go, Sebastian said.
Sebastian, stop being rude, Sheila said.
We can't kick the girl out when she's so clearly unbalanced.
I'm not unbalanced, I said. I'm trying to get a handle on all of this. There's something off.
Of course there's something off, Sebastian said. You came into our house and slept in all of our beds. You're crazy.
This is a fairy tale, I countered.
There aren't any fairies here, Sheila said. You don't see fairies, do you? Because if you do, I'm going to start wondering if my son is right. You may very well be a pothead.
I'm not a pothead. I don't see fairies. I said, this is a fairy tale. There's a difference.
What's a fairy tale?
Sebastian asked, interested.
Are they actual tales of fairies? Can you eat them?
This was the most surreal conversation I'd ever had, and I once spent a drunken Sunday afternoon debating what kind of broom Aunt Tilly would fly if she were a fictional witch.
I don't know what to do.
I think you need something to eat, Sheila said. If you get something in your stomach, you'll feel better.
We caught some fish while we were out,
Craig said.
Do you like fish?
The thought of food made me want to vomit. That would probably send the wrong message to my hosts. I'm not hungry.
You need to eat, Craig said. You're very pale, and your fur looks uneven.
It's not fur, I said. It's hair. It's not uneven. Well, it is. It's just bedhead, though.
If you say so, Sebastian said. He then mind-coughed, freak, as he glanced over my shoulder.
Listen, thank you so much for your hospitality, I said, but I think I need to be on my way.
Where are you going to go? Sheila asked.
I don't have any idea, I said. I just know there are no answers for me here.
Are you expecting answers?
Craig asked.
You might find a whole lot more than answers if you go wandering around the woods without any idea where you're heading.
I worried that was true. I still think this is a dream, I said. If it is a dream, I'm obviously meant to work something out before the dream ends. I don't think that something is here.
Well, if you're sure, Sheila said, just keep in mind, you might not be able to find your way back.
I guess that's a chance I'll have to take, I said. After a few more minutes of arguing, Sheila and Craig bid me reluctant farewells while Sebastian growled occasional insults in my direction. I walked out of the cabin with nothing but the clothes on my back and fear weighing my shoulders down. This had to be a dream. There was no other explanation. What else could be going on here? I was halfway down the gravel walkway in front of the cabin when I heard the sound of heavy feet in the trees next to me. I jumped when a figure bolted through the underbrush, relief washing over me when I recognized a familiar silhouette. Landon? He swiveled around quickly, his gaze landing on me.
Bay?
I threw myself into his arms, not caring in the least that I was dreaming. All I cared about was that he hadn't slipped out of bed and left me alone after all. He hadn't abandoned me. I've never been so happy to see someone in my entire life.
The road less traveled may be more exciting, but it's also probably not paved. If it's not paved, that means there are snakes. If there are snakes, they're going to bite you. If you get bitten, you're going to cry. If you cry, don't come running to me. I can't stand it when you cry. It gives me a headache.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up. 3.
What is going on here?
Landon moved to separate from me, but I fought the effort and pulled him closer. Not yet.
Not yet what?
He wrapped his arms around me again, pulling me close and rubbing my back for a moment.
What's wrong?
I had the strangest thing happen to me, I murmured, burying my face in the hollow between Landon's shoulder and neck. Landon ran his hand down the back of my head one more time and gave me a quick kiss on the forehead, before forcing me far enough away that he could see my face.
You don't know about weird.
Really? I woke up in bed alone. I thought you'd left me there and gone to the inn to face off with Aunt Tilly on your own. I was really angry, by the way. Don't you ever do that. Landon rolled his eyes.
First, I said I was going to wake you up, he said. I do what I say. I had every intention of waking you up. But I didn't wake up in your bed either, in case you hadn't noticed.
I worried my bottom lip with my teeth. I know, it's just that you're always there when I wake up. You never leave without saying goodbye, even if you're late for work. I thought. I don't know what I thought.
Really? You're going to pick now to go all girl on me?
Landon's face was unreadable.
Good grief, Bay.
He cupped the back of my head and forced my blue eyes up to his.
I would never abandon you like that. Get some perspective. We're in a very freaky place.
I know you would never abandon me, I said. Except he had once, I added internally. He had walked away once. Landon narrowed his eyes as if reading my mind.
I'll never do it again. I was confused when you told me the truth about being a witch. I never even imagined anything like what I saw that day. I regretted it the second I did it.
I know, I said. I didn't say anything.
I saw it in your face,
he said.
I can't keep apologizing for what I did.
I didn't mean to bring that up now, I said. I have no idea why I did it. It just popped in my head. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, Landon said. We can talk about this if you want to. We just can't talk about it now.
I knew he was right. Okay.
Okay,
Landon said, leaning forward so he could give me another kiss.
Tell me what happened after you woke up.
Well, I walked out of what I thought was my bedroom and found myself in a cabin, I said. It was really cute, rustic. It had this wooden furniture that would be really adorable with cushions.
Thanks for the interior decorating commentary, sweetie,
Landon said.
Then what happened?
Well, the door opened and three bears walked into the cabin. Landon's eyebrows shot up.
Bears?
Bears, I confirmed. Oh, and they could talk.
Talk?
Their names were Craig, Sheila, and Sebastian, I said. They claimed I walked into their cabin last night and tried to sleep in all of their beds.
You tried to have sex with the bears?
Landon looked appalled.
No!
You have a filthy mind. They had three beds. They said I tried them all out, claiming one was too hard, one was too soft, and one was just right.
Like the fairy tale,
Landon mused, rubbing his hands over my shoulder absentmindedly. Yes, this is a dream, right?
I don't know. Can two people share the same dream?
I shrugged, lost. Where did you wake up? Landon scowled.
I woke up on a beach. I was convinced it was a dream, just like you. It was dark, and I could hear water lapping the shoreline, and it really made me have to go to the bathroom. So I kind of rolled over,
he continued.
I reached for you. I expected to find you in the bed next to me. It was as though I was in that hazy spot between sleep and consciousness. You weren't there, though.
I slipped a little closer to him. Did you think I left you in bed alone?
I thought you were in the bathroom or something,
Landon said.
And when I felt for you, though, I realized it wasn't a bed. I was on sand, and quite frankly, it was in my underwear.
I fought the urge to laugh. He was so serious. Just being reunited with him was enough to make me smile, though. Is it still in your underwear?
Don't try to distract me, Bay.
Sorry.
Then I heard something splashing in the water,
Landon said.
It took me a few minutes to realize I wasn't dreaming, or, to be more accurate, I still thought I was dreaming, but I decided to go with the flow thinking I would eventually wake up.
That's what I did, too.
Do you want me to high-five you?
He was grumpy. I guess I couldn't blame him. Tell me what happened.
I kept hearing the splashing. I rolled over, and do you know what I saw?
Water?
You're cute, sweetie, but I can only take so much right now,
Landon warned. You asked a question. I answered it. Now I was starting to feel crabby, too.
I'm sorry,
Landon said, holding his hands up.
We're stuck in a dream together, Bay. We're stuck in a dream together. You shared a cabin with bears, and I woke up by an ocean.
You said you heard splashing, I said. What was it? He was conflicted, as though he didn't want to tell me what happened. Landon, you're going to have to tell me if you want us to figure this out, I said. He pressed his lips together, averting his eyes. What did you see?
You're going to think I'm crazy.
I just told you I saw 3 talking bears and you didn't call me a liar once, I said. I think I'm ready to believe anything you have to tell me.
There was a woman in the water,
Landon said. A woman. He nodded. What kind of woman?
The naked kind.
My heart dropped. Did you do something with the naked woman?
Of course not,
Landon snapped. It's a dream, I said. Sometimes people do stuff in dreams that they wouldn't do in real life.
Who are you hanging out with in your dreams?
I balked. No one.
We're going to talk about this later,
he warned.
I didn't do anything with her. She was naked, and she, had a tail.
A tail?
She was a mermaid,
Landon said, finally gritting the words out.
Does that make you happy? She was a mermaid.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? Landon shook his head, pinching the bridge of his nose as though trying to ward off the world's biggest headache.
She kept splashing and singing in this horrific voice.
It's like the Little Mermaid, I said. Another fairy tale.
I thought that mermaid was supposed to have a beautiful voice.
She is, I said, thoughtful. Did the mermaid have red hair? Landon nodded. Was she alone?
As far as I could tell.
No singing crustaceans or big sea hags hanging around, right?
No, just the naked mermaid. And she was, making suggestive comments.
I laughed. I couldn't help myself. Are you saying the naked mermaid was hitting on you?
Yes. I didn't touch her, though. All I could think about was you.
This is just so odd.
What was your first clue?
Landon asked, bewildered.
Was it the talking bears or the vulgar mermaid?
How did you end things with the mermaid?
She kept asking me whether I wanted to see her seashell,
Landon said, tilting his head to the side.
I didn't, so I said my goodbyes and then I took off into the woods.
Then what happened?
I don't know. I just kept walking. I had no idea where I was going. There was no light. I just, for some reason, I knew to come in this direction. It was as if I felt you.
You knew I was here?
No, I knew I had to come in this direction. Until I actually saw you, I didn't know you were here with me. I thought you were home. I thought you were safe in your bed. I thought we were both safe in your bed, and we were going to wake up at any moment.
Do you still think we're dreaming? I asked.
Do you?
I was starting to have my doubts. Still, there was no other rational explanation. I don't know how we could be sharing the same dream.
Could it be magic?
I'm not familiar with a lot of dream magic, I said. I don't believe in using it.
What is dream magic, and why don't you use it?
I sighed. Most people believe that your dreams are nothing more than your subconscious's way of working out your day, or the problems you're grappling with while you're awake, I said. There are some who believe your dreams are more. Landon waited, silent. Some people believe your dreams are wishes that can come true if you go after them, I said. Those people believe that if you mess with someone's dream and change the outcome, you're tempting fate.
Are you saying that messing with someone's dream could affect their life?
Some people believe that, I said.
You keep saying some people. What do you believe?
I believe dreams are just dreams, I said. I also believe that interrupting dreams can have a negative impact on people's lives. I don't think destroying a dream destroys a life, if that's what you expect me to say. I do think that destroying a dream can make someone sad, though, I continued. When I was a kid, all I had were dreams. I didn't have a happy reality, so I always escaped into dreams. I would have hated for someone to ruin that for me. Landon's face softened.
Come here.
He pulled me in for a hug.
You can't say stuff like that and not expect me to hug you.
I rested my face against his shoulder. I'm not sure this is a dream.
If it's not a dream, what is it?
I shrugged. I have no idea. The thing is, this could be a dream, as long as it's just my dream. Maybe you're a figment of my imagination. Maybe I conjured you into my dream because I needed you.
That doesn't explain how I'm aware of what's going on,
Landon pointed out. I know, I said. I just don't think we could be sharing the same dream. Landon rubbed his hand over his chin, thoughtful.
Could it be a spell?
That was a very good question. If it's not a dream, it has to be a spell.
Who would have cast it?
Well, my first guess is Aunt Tilly, I said. No one else has a reason to cast a spell on us.
Do you think this is a way for her to distract us so she can sell her wine without repercussions?
It's possible, it's just...
What?
We're not the only ones standing in her way, I said. She would have to curse Thistle, Clove, Mom, Marnie, and Twyla, too.
Do you think they're all here?
I shrugged. I don't know. She could have cursed us all into our own different fairy tale worlds. I just don't know.
Go with your gut, sweetie,
Landon said.
If this is a spell, what do we have to do to break it?
It's either going to run its course because Aunt Tilly put a time limit on it, or we're going to have to solve the puzzle to get out ourselves, I said.
What puzzle?
I don't know, I admitted. There's something so familiar about this, I can't put my finger on it.
It's fairy tales,
Landon said.
Your mother probably read them to you all the time when you were a kid.
She did. Marnie and Twyla did, too. This is different.
How?
I don't know, I said. It's just not the same as I remember from when I was a kid.
What do you want to do?
Landon asked.
Do you want to find a spot to hunker down in and wait for this to end? Or do you want to go looking to see whether anyone else is here?
I thought about it for a moment. I think we should work our way through the story, I said. If we wait and there is no time limit, we're burning time. At least this way we'll be doing something.
Okay,
Landon said, pressing another kiss to my forehead and linking his fingers with mine.
I'd rather be proactive, too. Which way?
Why are you asking me?
You're magic, sweetie,
Landon said.
I mean that more ways than one. You're the one who's going to lead us out of this.
I bit my lip, warmth washing over me. He always knew the best way to make me feel better. I glanced around, debating which direction to head in, and then pointed. That way.
That's as good a way as any,
Landon said.
Can I ask why you picked it?
I just feel we need to go that way. Landon smiled.
Then let's go. I just hope the next fairy tale monstrosity can sing. There's nothing worse than a tone-deaf mermaid with a vulgar tongue and sexual issues.
I smirked. Are you scarred for life?
Let's just say I'm never going to be able to watch that movie again without having a flashback and leave it at that.
He said, tugging my hand.
Come on. If we're lucky, we'll be able to find some reinforcements. More minds can only mean more ideas on how to get us out of this.
You realize more minds is going to mean more complaining too, right?
Oh, I know,
Landon said.
Since I'm in a never-ending fount of complaints right now, though, I can take it. Misery loves company, right?
I just know I love you right now, I said.
Right back at you. Now, come on. These woods are starting to give me the creeps.
There are many different kinds of princesses. Some of them need a prince to save them. The best ones, though, save themselves. Always be the second kind of princess. You don't need anyone else to save you, unless they have pie. If they have pie, go ahead and let them save you. You can always save yourself down the road. You might not find another decent pie for days.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
4.
Do you think it's going to remain night the whole time we're here, or are we eventually going to see daylight?
Landon asked. We walked a narrow pathway together, our hands clasped and shoulders occasionally touching. Neither one of us felt comfortable enough to wander too far from the one landmark we had. It was as though we both worried that separating would somehow zip one of us into separate fairy tales. I don't know, I said. The good news is that the moon is really bright. So it's lighting things relatively well. Do you miss the sun already?
I don't care about the sun as much as I do about the light,
Landon said.
If it was light out, I wouldn't constantly be looking over my shoulder and searching the shadows for something trying to attack us. This place makes me uneasy.
I finally realized one of the reasons he was so uncomfortable. You don't have a weapon. You feel naked without it. He shook his head, his expression rueful.
Do you think less of me because I want to take a gun to a fairy tale fight?
Nothing could ever make me think less of you, I said, gripping his hand tightly. I love you regardless. Well, that's not entirely true. If you ever tell me you have a clown fetish, it's over.
You're so cute, I can't stand it sometimes,
Landon said. His face sobered.
There aren't any clowns in fairy tales, right?
I shook my head, not that I remember.
Good,
Landon said.
I can take talking bears and nymphomaniac mermaids. I can't take clowns, though.
I didn't know you were coulrophobic.
I have no idea what that is,
Landon said.
If it's gross, I'm going to deny having it, though.
It's a fear of clowns, I said. It's a pretty common fear.
I didn't say I was afraid of them,
Landon said.
I said I didn't like them.
Because you're afraid of them.
I'm not afraid of them.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about, I said. I'm afraid of spiders.
Whatever,
Landon said, rolling his eyes.
I'm not afraid of clowns.
I believe you.
I'm not.
I didn't say you were. We were silent a few minutes, both of us scanning the foliage as we moved forward. We'd gone a long time without any surprises. That naturally meant we were about to encounter one. I don't know how I knew that. I just did. When Landon opened his mouth again, he didn't say what I was expecting.
I'm not afraid of clowns.
I sighed. I'm sorry I said it. I didn't mean it. I was obviously mistaken.
You were.
Great. More silence.
Bay?
What? I was starting to tire.
I don't like their big shoes and white faces,
he said.
It's unnatural for a grown man to wear a rubber ball on his nose and make balloon animals. I read Stephen King's It when I was a kid, and it scared the crap out of me.
I pursed my lips to keep from laughing. I felt the same about Salem's Lot, I admitted. I always thought there were vampires scratching at the window trying to get in.
You're not going to tell anyone, right?
It will be our little secret. We lapsed into silence again. The fact that he'd admitted a fear bolstered me, and I had no idea why. It was as if he was letting me see deeper inside of him. He trusted me with something he couldn't admit to anyone else. I was about to tell him what I was thinking when the sound of bitter complaining assailed my ears. I tilted my head to one side, listening. This is absolutely the dumbest thing that has ever happened to me. If there were a list of dumb things in the world, this would be right on top. It would be right next to Crocs and Snuggies. Landon and I exchanged a look. Thistle, we said in unison. Landon kept steady hold of my hand as we stepped off the path and started wading through the heavy underbrush. After about 2 minutes of walking, the trees gave way and we found ourselves in an open area, looking out on a small pond. In the middle of that pond, standing on a huge rock with her hands on her hips, was Thistle. Unlike Landon and me, who had been able to keep access to our regular clothing, Thistle was dressed in a monstrous pink dress and had a tiara on her head. I laughed. I couldn't help myself. Nice dress! Thistle snapped her head up, her usually pink hair now a dull shade of brown. She looked like a different person. Thank the goddess, she said. Where have you been? I've been hanging out with three bears, I said. They had a beautiful little cabin, kind of an enhanced shed more than anything else. Oh, and they could talk. Thistle furrowed her forehead, and even from 50 feet away, and an expanse of water separating us, I could see her mind working. They could talk? Did they say anything interesting? The kid bear thought I was a pothead, I said. Apparently, I let myself into their cabin and tried to sleep in all of their beds. Are you suddenly a dream slut? Thistle asked. Are you making time with talking bears? Landon scowled.
Stop being you.
You stop being you, Thistle shot back. Why are you two in your regular clothes? Why do you get to wear what you want and I'm in this? I'm guessing you're stuck in it until you play this particular story out, I said. What story? We're going through fairy tales, I said. Aunt Tilly, Thistle grumbled. I'm going to pop her like a zit. I'm going to... Thistle mimed a violent act, almost losing her balance and tumbling into the water. I'm going to make that old lady pay. We have to get out of here first, I said. I don't even know what this is, Thistle said. Where are we? Are we dreaming? I have no idea, I said. I don't know how all three of us could be sharing the same dream. Even Aunt Tilly wouldn't mess with dream magic. Thistle rubbed her forehead.
You're right. She's mean, petty, and bitter. And I'm going to burn her greenhouse to the ground when I get out of here. But she wouldn't mess with dream magic. That means this is something else. I kind of figured that out already.
It also means all of us might be in here, I said.
You've only found each other?
And now you, I said. Thistle sighed dramatically.
Well, this is just great. What are we supposed to do now? Are we supposed to wander around Fairy Tale Land until we find everyone?
I have no idea, I said. We could all be in the same place, or we could be split between separate places. I just don't know.
I think the first thing we need to do is get you off the rock,
Landon said.
Why don't you jump in and swim over here? It's not that far. The dress will dry out after a little bit.
Oh, thank you, Thistle said. I never would have thought of that myself.
Then why are you still on the rock?
Landon asked, nonplussed.
There's something in the water, Thistle said.
What?
I don't know. I've seen a tail a couple of times.
What kind of tail?
A green, scaly one. It's big. That means whatever's in the water is big.
Have you seen any teeth?
No. Every time I decide I'm going to risk a swim, I see the tail. Then I see a big freaking turtle staring at me. Oh, and you can hear that frog croaking. It's driving me crazy. I'm going to kill it and cook it.
I ran her diatribe through my head. What fairy tale was this?
What turtle? I don't see a turtle.
Just watch, Thistle instructed. She moved to the edge of the rock and dipped her toe into the water. The second she did, something splashed a few feet away, a long tail rising out of the water and slapping back down loudly.
That was creepy, I said. Wait.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement on the far side of the pond. I peered into the darkness, squinting until I realized what I saw. It was a shell, a large one at that. It was 2 feet long and 3 feet wide. The turtle didn't raise its head until it was next to the rock, and then it focused on Thistle as it floated there.
I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with this, Thistle said.
You're supposed to step on it,
Landon said. I glanced at him, surprised.
How do you know that?
It's the answer to the riddle. This story is about trust. Thistle has to trust the turtle to get her over to us without dropping her in the water and feeding her to that thing,
he said.
What if it doesn't work? I asked.
I don't see where we have much of a choice. You can't stay on that rock, and you can't risk swimming. You have to trust the turtle. Wow, there's something I never thought I would say.
What happens if I fall in? Thistle asked.
Then swim really quickly,
Landon said.
What happens if the turtle sinks?
Then swim really quickly.
What happens?
Thistle, get your butt on that turtle,
Landon ordered.
We're wasting time here. We need you on the shore with us. This is the only way.
If I get eaten, I'm going to haunt you forever, Thistle warned.
Duly noted. Now get on the turtle.
Landon tightened his hand around mine as we watched Thistle carefully step away from the rock. She tested the turtle with one foot before committing fully and dragging her other foot over. The second she was settled, the turtle started drifting in our direction. The tail snapped angrily next to the rock. No head emerged, though, and there was no sign of the water marauder following the turtle. Thistle was on the shore within seconds. Her face flushed when she felt the solid ground beneath her, and she raced to me so she could give me a hug. I think she needed the human contact because she's not known as a big hugger.
Holy crap, she said. That was so surreal.
Try talking to bears, I said.
Try having a naughty mermaid ask you if you want to see her seashell,
Landon added. Thistle laughed, the sound harsh.
Seriously?
Seriously,
Landon said.
I woke up on a beach and Bay woke up in a strange bed.
I still don't understand why I'm in this dress, Thistle said. It's ugly.
I would think once the fairy tale is over, you would go back to your regular clothes, I said. I thought the dress was part of the fairy tale.
Maybe it still is,
Landon suggested.
Meaning?
Maybe this story isn't over.
What's left? I asked. She got off the rock. She's safe. She passed the trust exercise.
I have no idea,
Landon said.
If I could explain this freaky place, I would.
A loud croak caused the three of us to jump, our gazes shifting to a large bullfrog perched on a rock a few feet away. It looked like a normal frog, other than the fact that it stared at us. "Do you think it can talk?" I asked.
"The turtle and the water monster couldn't," Thistle